This is a brand new sermon for me. She doesn't understand. Like, in a month, I preached here. I preached at Salem Sayers. I preached at Thompsonville. And I preached at Lockhart. It was a good sermon, but she was like, get something else. They haven't heard it. It's new to them, you know. Oh, you said you prayed for me. You know, you're in my sermon here. You're in the Bible. Her name was Jezebel. So. I got to give her some credit, though. She dug through her purse and found me a cough drop. All I had to do was lick some of the paper that tore off it. Go to James chapter 5 and also go to 1 Kings 19. James chapter 5 and 1 Kings 19. I was preaching in James. I preached out of James 5 the last time, but there were some other sermons in there. And I was going to preach on money, because James 5, he talks about money. And the preacher gets up and preaches a sermon about money. So that's out. And so I'm going to preach just a little bit about Elijah. He may be my favorite Bible character. I identify with him. In James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as are we. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Then over in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. What had he done? Yeah, called fire down from heaven and killed 850 false prophets. Then Jezebel sent a messenger under Elijah. Now, he just did this. All right? Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, why didn't he just say, well, come on, hon? And when he saw that, verse 3, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down by under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father. Did he really want to die? You know how we know? All he had to do was not run. Just stay there. Jezebel will come get you. Verse, where am I? 5. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. That's the first mention of angel food cake, folks. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise, eat and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it. Was he the only one left? Absolutely not. How many did God say he had 7,000 stored away? James tells us that Elijah was a man subject to like passions, as are we. But he got his prayers answered. He was an ordinary man, just like you, just like me, just like all of us in this room. He fought spiritual battles just like we do. He was flesh and blood, like all of us, and he was used by God in the struggle against evil, just like we ought to be used by him. Y'all sit down, yeah. I don't know why we're doing that. You can stand if you want to, I guess. But I want you to join with me for a few minutes this evening in 1 Kings 19 and read this account about Elijah the prophet fleeing from Jezebel. You know, she's ticked and she's after him. In fact, she was so angry. In verse 2, we read that then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow. I'm after you. In other words, Elijah, you got 24 hours to live. And we read in verse 3 that he ran for his life. Where should he have run? To the Lord, yeah. I mean, after facing 850 angry prophets and defeating them, he runs from the threat of a single woman. Now, I've met a few that... he had the right idea. So. I tell you, there's only one woman I fear, and that's her. She can cut my throat at night and go back to sleep. Elijah became so distressed and depressed and discouraged that he cries out to God in verse 4, It is enough, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. You know, I think every preacher, Brother Butch, J.K., you guys that preach, I bet you every one of us could get up and preach a sermon in church called There Was This Woman in the Church. Right? You got one? Okay. Oh. Now, if you keep reading, you find how God provided for his prophet. In verses 5 and 6, then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him, said to him, Arise and eat. And then he looked, and there... by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water, so he ate and drank and lay down. So far, so good. Elijah's getting some rest. He ran 30 miles, folks. That's longer than a marathon, isn't it? He ran 30 miles, and he hadn't had anything to eat. What he needed was rest and nutrition. But after the rest, look what he fought next. Verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? Why aren't you fighting the battles? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. I'm the only one. They seek my life to take it. You can hear the devil thinking, if I can't destroy Elijah with depression. Maybe I can get him with loneliness. He says, I alone am left. Now, I want you to know something. Even in a big church like this, it's easy for preachers to get lonely. We can't be everywhere all the time. How about you? You get lonely? That feeling deep down inside that you're unwanted or unneeded? Perhaps even unnecessary? You know, if my wife passes away, I'm gone. I'm a goner. If I pass away, she's happy. She's free. I bet it's true about every. Women can take care of themselves far better than we can. She has me so spoiled, I'm going to be holding hands with somebody at the funeral if she dies. So if I show up at your house, you hear Mary Lou's passed away, and I show up at your house with flowers and candy, you just... All of us suffer those feelings. H.G. Wells, on his 65th birthday, said, I'm 65 years old and I'm lonely. And many of the great champions for God in the Bible experienced times of loneliness. David and Jeremiah and Job and Moses and John the Baptist. John the Baptist was out preaching for Jesus, and when Jesus finally came to see him, he had to ask him, are you really the right guy? The Apostle Paul, they all experienced loneliness. Even the Lord Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You might be like tonight, you might feel like the man that was trying to cure his loneliness. And so he sent a picture to the Lonely Hearts Club. A few weeks later, they sent the picture back and said, dear sir, thank you for the picture, but we're not that lonely. Look at some of the ads in the backside of the paper. Datamate. Are you lonely? Nationwide friends and closed stamp. Excited. Unattached. Meet sincere, literate singles. Anywhere. Lonely. Find your life mate. Nationwide details. $1. Soulmate search. Self-selecting approach for cultured people. Reduce fee. I mean, titles of popular songs tell us we're lonely. What did Elvis sing? Oh, you're lonely tonight. Hank Williams? I'm so lonesome I could cry, right? Eddie Arnold? Oh, lonesome me. When we were kids, the Rascals, I get lonely. Y'all remember that from the 60s? Three Dog Night, one is the loneliest number. Maybe you feel like the psalmist who wrote in Psalm 102 and verse 6, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Psalm 31 and verse 12 says, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. Psalm 25 and verse 16, I am lonely and afflicted. Well, Elijah felt so lonely he wanted to die. Or at least he thought he did. All he had to do was stop running. Loneliness will cause you to think that God is gone. And that he's taken everybody with him who matters to you. Any hope for lonely? I know there is when God's in it. Think about, number one, the cause of loneliness. What causes that loneliness? What caused Elijah to feel so lonely? Well, several things. First of all, society will cause loneliness. Our lifestyles, the way we live causes loneliness. We're in a hurry to go here, do, everywhere, and we don't have time to stop and really enjoy one another's company. The average American will move 14 times in their lifetime. I looked it up. I sat down and thought about it. I'm living in the 15th place I've ever lived in my life. And as a result, there are no roots. There are no attachments. There's no sense of belonging. That's why when you move to a new place, that just as soon as possible, you need to get into a Bible-believing church and meet new Christian friends and put your roots down. And if you've been visiting around here and you're a visitor tonight, you need to get in and become part of the body. And when you moved here, you brought everything with you that was important, didn't you? How about your church membership? A church family will give you roots and attachment and a sense of belonging. In fact, Mary Lou and I moved our membership to the country church before we moved into the house in San Antonio. We already knew where we were going to go to church. I met Brother Butch back in 1985 when I first got to the association, and you were at Salem Sayers, right? And I went to a meeting in San Antonio, and there was a guy there, and Butch just, I mean, he's talking about all this stuff, and Brother Butch just said, well, how many people did you baptize at your church last year? And the guy looked at him, and Salem Sayers had baptized 10 to 15 times that. And I thought, I like this guy. Some of these people just run around with platitudes, but they don't do anything in reality. Elijah had ended up in a cave feeling so lonely that he wanted to die. There was an article in Time magazine, July 3rd, 2006. Robert Putman, who was a professor at Harvard University, wrote an article entitled, You Gotta Have Friends. And here's what the professor wrote in that article. Americans are more socially isolated today than we were barely two decades ago. He goes on to say, baby boomers are more socially marooned than their parents, and the boomers' kids are lonelier still. Then he writes about the side effects of loneliness. Kids fail to thrive. Crime rises. Generosity shrivels. Death comes sooner. Well-connected people live longer. They are happier, even if they have to forgo a new Lexus to spend time with their friends. 1 Kings 19:4 says, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father. So society can cause loneliness. And sorrow causes loneliness. You experience some tragedy or some loss. A divorce causes loneliness, and certainly death causes loneliness. My dad died at 87 in April of 2016. The Alzheimer's finally, he just forgot to breathe, or his heart forgot to beat. But the tragedy was my mom. My little sister Sharon had never married, and she was living at home with mom and dad before she died. And mom and her were very, very close. Well, my sister died, and then my dad died. And when they were both gone, I think mom just simply willed herself to death. In December of 16, just a few months after dad died, she laid down in her bed, and she had been doing it for a long time. Lord, just take me home. I don't have anything to live for. And she went to sleep and didn't wake up. She didn't have any major health problems or anything. She just didn't want to be there alone. We tried to take her. We'd go when we went home. We tried to take her up to McDonald's on Sunday to go with the Metamucil crowd, and you know, that my dad and mom ran with, and she didn't want to go because she didn't have dad anymore. And I was like, Mom, I don't think you have to worry about anybody hitting on you or anything, you know. So, and that didn't go over very well. And sin causes loneliness. You know what Elijah forgot? He forgot the promises in the presence of God. He turned his focus inward when he should have turned it upward. Suddenly he's depending on Elijah power instead of Holy Spirit power. And it caused him to feel alone. That's what happened to Cain after killing his brother Abel. That sin, it brought upon him a life of wandering and loneliness, the Bible says. Sin always separates. Sin separated Cain from God, and it'll separate you from God too. Why do you think Jesus experienced loneliness on the cross? It was because he was separated from God the Father. Sin always causes it. Well, that's the causes of loneliness. How about the consequences of loneliness? There are physical consequences. Some time ago, a large number of patients who had experienced heart attacks were surveyed, and it was found that 50% were feeling depressed and lonely when their heart attacks occurred. Loneliness may be the greatest single factor in premature deaths. J.J. Lynch, in the book The Broken Heart, The Medical Consequences of Loneliness, says that divorced men are twice as likely to die from heart disease, stroke, hypertension, and cancer as married men in any given year. Now, I know why. I get babied. I get taken care of. I can just look at her and she knows what I want. And she knows. Sometimes she'll like, you know where it is. But she waits on me and she has me spoiled. The next time somebody tells you that a divorce is liberating, you need to remember that it can liberate you to an early grave. There are emotional consequences. 80% of psychiatric patients seek help because of feelings of loneliness. I've read of people so lonely that they deliberately delayed the payment of their bills so the bill collector would call them. One man put an ad in the Kansas paper, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. And before long, he was getting 20 calls a day and making $3,000 a month. I can't imagine how depressing that had to be. Listen to all that stuff. There are spiritual consequences. Elijah's loneliness made him temporarily give up on God. He turned his back on God and his face toward man, and he found himself suffering spiritually. Loneliness will not only hurt you physically and not only emotionally, it will deal with you spiritually. And if you don't believe it, just take a good look at the story of Elijah. But Elijah found a cure for loneliness. That's the good part, amen? I like good sermons always end on a positive note. Elijah found a cure, and so can we. And I want you to see how he did it. Number one, he learned to depend upon the presence of God. In 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 13, he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave where he had had a conversation with God. Elijah said goodbye to loneliness when he stopped depending upon himself and started depending upon the presence of God. Rusty, you might say, I need somebody who understands. I need somebody who is real. That's part of the problem. Jesus is real. And Jesus understands loneliness. Jesus died a lonely death, forsaken by man, forsaken by God the Father, so that you and I never have to be alone. Isn't that wonderful? Matthew 28 and verse 19, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. John 14, 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 43 and verse 5, fear not, for I am with you. Deuteronomy 31 and 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. Isaiah 43 and verse 5, fear not, I am with you. So first depend upon the presence of God. Then decide on the purpose of God. Elijah not only depended on his presence, but he decided for the purpose. Look at verses 15 and 16 in 1 Kings 19. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. You know what happened? He got back to serving God. He's back to doing God's work. You say, but Pastor, I'm a shut-in. I'm a senior saint. I've served my time. There ain't anything I can do for God anymore. What could I do for His church? And I would say, no wonder you're lonely. You may have served your time in one capacity, but it's time to begin serving God in another. Why do you think you're still here? Okay? If God was finished with you, you'd be gone. Several years ago in the church in Blanco, one of my dear ladies, and I really miss Miss Helen, I really do. I think I told y'all, we were close enough that when she was dying in the hospital in Kerrville, Mary Lou and I went to see her, but we stopped in Fredericksburg on the way to Kerrville and we ate seafood. And when we got to the hospital, Miss Helen pulled me over there to her, just kissed me right on the lips, and then she goes, you ate oysters, didn't you? She called me one day and she said, I don't know if there's anything I can do. And she still had her health at the time. Brother Bill was gone quite a bit on the road. I thanked her for being faithful, and I said, look, God can't be through with you yet. You're still here. She said, well, what can I do now in this time of my life? I said, well, you like to talk on the phone, don't you? You better not. I mean, she got that blazing hot gossip line going. So I asked her, I said, how about if I get Trish, the secretary, to print up a list of names and addresses and phone numbers of people who visit. And all you have to do is just call them up on Monday morning or Monday afternoon or sometime and ask them or tell them that you were glad that they were in the service and ask them if they had any questions, and be sure to invite them to come back again. You're calling them. All they can do, the worst they can do is just hang up on you. So she said, okay. And she did that faithfully for a couple of years before she died. There's always something we can do. Don't let your age nor your situation be an excuse for not serving God. Paul's example, when he met the Lord Jesus, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" is what ought to be our example. And you need to develop some companionship with the people of God. Now, I don't think we'll ever get to the time where everybody knows everybody. But everybody can know somebody. Everybody can know several somebodies. You can call up people and check on them and just encourage them. 1 Kings 19, the verses 18 and 19. "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed him by and threw his mantle." Elijah just teamed up with others who had a heart for God. And every member of this church, every follower of Jesus Christ in this whole city needs to be developing companionship with the people of God. David had his Jonathan. Elijah had Elisha. Naomi had Ruth. Just think about that. You say, "Well, I've tried that. People up at the church are just stuck up. They're not friendly." That's a lie. You might scare them the first time you talk to them. Listen, if that's true about this congregation, we're in a heap of trouble, because this is the sweetest, friendliest church I've ever had anything to do with. Go sit in First Baptist Church somewhere. You might get told you're in my seat. Don't get mad at me, you know. But it's a lie. God said it. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. I can't find the credits, but someone spoke the truth when they said, "I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere." This Professor Putman from Harvard continues his article, says, "Reaching out to a neighbor or connecting with a long-lost pal, even having a picnic for two, just might save your life." We all have our ups and downs. Even the heroes of our faith. And I guarantee you, if you hadn't had one, if you hadn't had a downside lately, just hang on. There's another one coming. When that happens, sometimes we get lonely and begin to think nobody cares. But Jesus does. Loneliness is common to man, but Jesus conquered that loneliness, or we can conquer that loneliness in Christ. Depend on His presence. Decide to purposely do what you're supposed to do and develop some companionship with His people. That worked for Elijah, and it'll work for us. Y'all remember that old song, "No, Never Alone"? No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. That's true. Lord, I just preach to myself, and it seems to speak to hearts all over the place. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's struggling with loneliness, would you do some encouraging and remind them that heroes of the faith, powerful men of God like Elijah, went through those same seasons. But he didn't stay there. He didn't wallow in it. He sought you out and got the cure. Lord, if there's somebody here just lonely, I pray you'd put your arm around them right now and let them know you care. Lord, maybe the reason some of us get lonely is because we don't really know you. We know our friends, and we have a church, and we read our Bible sometimes, but we never really and truly put all our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. If that's so, Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know Jesus, I pray that when Brother Butch comes to give the invitation, they'd step out and come and trust him. Maybe there's folks looking for a church home, Lord. I know it's Wednesday night, but this is a great church. These are friendly people. Lord, I pray they'd come and say, I want to move my membership here, and I want to be an active member and have a part in this church. Lord, whatever the need is in our lives, we trust you to take them upon yourself and bring the cure. We love you, Lord. You died that lonely death on the cross because you loved us. Help us to love you that much, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.